Just coming off Super Tuesday, we take a look at a key piece of electoral reform being used by a handful of states. State Democratic parties in Hawaii, Kansas, Alaska, and Wyoming are allowing for ranked choice voting in this year's primary contest, but it's already posed some problems for folks who voted early. Now, this move has long been hailed by advocates for electoral reform as a means to allow for a more representative vote. Maria Perez is with the D.C.-based group Voter Education for Democracy in Action. She was in town working with the Democratic Party of Hawaii and spoke with the Conversation's Harrison Patino about the new changes.
Ranked choice voting is basically a very simple change in the way that we do elections. So when you get your ballot, instead of just voting for one candidate and saying, I want this person to win and I want everybody else to lose, you get your ballot and you get to rank all the candidates that you like in order of preference. So it's not a zero-sum game. It's you get to decide, I really like this candidate, but in case they can't win, then I am saying who my backup choices are. And so benefit-wise, it really allows for voters to vote their conscience. You don't ever, with ranked choice voting, you don't ever have to go into the ballot box and into the voting booth and hold your nose and vote for a candidate that you don't really like, because if you vote for the candidate that you actually like, you might help elect the candidate that you really don't like. So there's all these like calculations that we ask voters to make when they're voting, and that's just not fair. People should be able to vote their conscience, really state who they like best in case they can't win, who they like next, and it allows for voters to have a more nuanced way of expressing their preferences.
Especially in recent political cycles, the voting choices have become really decisive, and people kind of go to the ballot, like you said, either holding their nose or saying, my candidate's not there and I'm not going to vote. Do proponents of ranked choice voting see this as a way to better increase turnout at the ballot for people who want a more representative vote?
Absolutely. And that happens in several different ways with ranked choice voting that we've seen in places that have had ranked choice voting for a few election cycles. For one thing, with ranked choice voting as a candidate, you need to have some voters' second and third choice votes. It's very hard for people to win in a crowded race just with first choice votes. So candidates need to reach out beyond their base. And what that translates to in real practice is candidates and campaigns need to knock on doors of people who may have your opponent sign on their lawn. And that means that people are having conversations, campaigns are having conversations with a broad base of voters. That means voters are getting educated on what candidates are about. So there's just an engagement in the political process and in the political discourse that ranked choice voting brings to the table, which is very nice. And in places that have ranked choice voting, we usually do see a tick up in voter turnout that is gradual. Right after so many elections, we see it go up more and more. But in my hometown where I live in Santa Fe, New Mexico, when we implemented ranked choice voting, we saw a 10% voter turnout increase in voter turnout. So that was significant.
So you touched upon it a little bit earlier about having a more representative vote on an individual level. What are some of the really key issues with traditional ballots that proponents of ranked choice voting think that that will solve?
I think the blanket statement there is that ranked choice voting really resolves the issue of having voting be a zero-sum game, right? It's us against them. It's, you know, my way or the highway kind of thinking, whereas most voters would like to have more of a consensus governance. You know, I find it very undemocratic in a crowded field if a candidate gets elected with 30% of the vote, which means 70% of the voters actually preferred somebody else, right? So, and then that person doesn't really have a mandate, even if they won. Most people did not like them as their favorite candidate. So with ranked choice voting, you really get to build that consensus with different parts of the population, different people who are supporting different platforms, and come together and build something together so that the candidate that eventually gets elected has the support of the majority of the folks.
Now, you mentioned that Santa Fe implemented this, that we've seen ranked choice voting in the main primaries. Where else have we seen ranked choice voting before, and how has it worked?
So nationally, Cambridge, Massachusetts has had ranked choice voting at the municipal level for over 80 years. You know, we have Santa Fe and Las Cruces in New Mexico. We have four cities in the California Bay Area that use ranked choice voting. Minneapolis and St. Paul use it. Tacoma Park, Maryland. There's about a dozen or so municipalities that are using it right now. The state of Maine uses it for all of their state and federal elections. And there's efforts in Alaska and Massachusetts and some other places to bring it to the state level. And, you know, in this case, because it's primary season now, we saw that Nevada had a ranked ballot for their primaries last week. And then there's four states that I'm working in, Hawaii, Alaska, Kansas, and Wyoming, in which the Democratic Party is using a ranked ballot for their presidential primaries this year. So it's used in a variety of different ways for a variety of different types of jurisdictions, whether it's municipal, state, or state party kind of a thing.
When we see ranked choice voting being implemented across the nation, is there any correlation between whether or not voter bases with more of a progressive or a conservative leaning are using ranked choice voting, or does it kind of go across party lines?
What we see in practice is that jurisdictions that tend to be more progressive leaning have been implementing it more, and that is basically because voter turnout seems to be more important for those people who think that way. But I want to be really clear that ranked choice voting does not help progressives or conservatives. It really is a way to have the voters find representation. So if the constituency in a place is more conservative, then you'll elect more conservative candidates. And if it's more liberal, you'll elect more liberal candidates. It's just that the person who gets elected will have a consensus of electability. So it takes away those fringe candidates because, again, you'll need second and third choice votes to actually get elected.
Can you speak to why you think Hawaii made the choice from what ballot system it had before to implementing ranked choice voting this year?
I think the Hawaiian Democratic Party really wanted to, as much as possible, make the primary election more accessible to voters and to, you know, increase participation, to get people excited about voting in the primary. And so the Hawaii Democratic Party requested for the DNC to approve this plan, and the DNC approved it, and so that's where we're at now.
Hawaii has had a notoriously low voter turnout over the years. Do you think that offering alternative voting methods like ranked choice can bring more people to the ballot box?
I think so, absolutely. And we've seen this in different places. So not just ranked choice voting, but other reforms that the party is also using right now for this primary election, like increasing vote by mail and early voting and just allowing for people to vote however it's going to work for them, right? If it's by mail, if it's actually going in on election day, if it's requesting an absentee ballot. So those reforms in terms of how is it easy for people to vote, in terms of ballot design and tabulation, you know, ranked choice voting definitely helps with that because, again, you can vote as a voter. You know that you're voting your conscience and that you are not wasting your vote.
Ranked choice voting is an interesting prospect in this one, but in future elections, is this something that would be more inclusive towards third-party candidates? Is this something where, say, the Green Party or Independent Party candidates come forward? Is this a better way to represent those parties that have been forgotten a lot in many mainstream elections?
I think so, absolutely. And this is why, you know, the Green Party and other third parties tend to be advocates for ranked choice voting because it allows them to be at the table, right? So one of the beauties of ranked choice voting in an election that is a majority election, right, when just one candidate is going to get elected, if you have multiple candidates running, then somebody is going to be told that you need to drop out of the race, you're spoiling the vote, you're going to split the vote. If, you know, if you stay in the vote, then this other person is going to get elected and we can't have that. So I find that also very undemocratic, right? If anybody wants to run for office, I think that's an incredibly brave and courageous thing to do. And we need to encourage that instead of telling people, like, if you're not playing with one of these two teams, you just can't participate. So that goes for candidates and it also goes for voters. So, you know, absolutely, I think that ranked choice voting sort of opens up the field for third party candidates and also for independent or undeclared voters.
You often hear something along the lines of people voting very intensely along party lines. One of the slogans I hear is vote blue no matter what. A lot of the times that comes down to people not voting with their conscience, but voting with their political loyalty. Do you think ranked choice voting kind of alleviates that ethical concern?
I think it can, but I think it takes a little time for people to get engaged politically, right? Like, it's not going to happen in one election cycle, but when you have candidates having to reach out to a broader base of voters, and also when, you know, you have a system like ranked choice voting in which if I'm a candidate, I'm going to need second choice votes. So if I'm knocking on your door and you say you prefer somebody else as your favorite choice, it doesn't benefit me to tell you that your favorite choice is the wrong choice and that you're mistaken and that they're a horrible person, right? Because I want your second choice vote. So instead of trash talking my opponent on a personal basis, ranked choice voting really incentivizes candidates to find common ground with their opponents and say, listen, I understand that my opponent is your favorite, and that's fine. Let me tell you something that your favorite candidate and I have worked on together. We've done this. We agree on this. Can I count on your second choice vote? So it really helps build those coalitions and build that consensus type of thinking, which I think, you know, it really engages those folks who might not be thinking about what the policies are, what the platforms are, and are just going to vote down the ballot for one party and that's it without ever learning anything about any of the candidates.
That was Maria Perez of Democracy in Action talking with The Conversation's Harrison Patino about ranked choice voting. Heads up, Hawaii's Democratic primary will be held on April 4th, and the deadline to register for the party is tomorrow.
If we vote for you, do you promise to be upright, decent, honest, to have our best interests at heart? You understand why.